Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn, you had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clowner with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Tony Perez, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Session 356 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. Come on, Tony.
All right, I got you.
And we will. There we go. And we have a new addict joining the network tonight, and we have Tony joining us from the chat, from the listener questions. He provides us a lot, and you know, that's how Rocky and I got started. So we're excited to have him. Tony, why don't you tell us who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
My name is Tony Perez. I live in a small town in Colorado. It's called Brush. Grew up here. Work for the city of another small town, not too far from here, about 10 minutes away, in Parks and Rec. And yeah, that's pretty much, I got two kids and a wife, and that's it, man.
Sounds good. And yeah, good. That we always say, anybody wants to come on, come on. You don't have to be a content creator.
Yeah.
Tony's just a guy who knows his dynasty.
Just a joke.
And yeah, and we put out the tweet, you know, the blue, what do they call it, skeet? Asking people if they wanted to come on, Tony replied, and now he's on. So that can be you too. Just if you ever want to slide in our DMs, we're very lazy schedulers, so we'll get you on probably fairly soon.
Yes. So Tony, how long have you been playing fantasy?
I started when I was back in high school, but I can remember actually playing like competitively with you know, friends and stuff. I was 15, 16. I remember though watching my dad plug in his numbers from the newspaper though, when you know, even younger than that, daily plugging them in and everything like that. I can remember back as far as 10 or 11, remember him doing that. So been doing it for a while.
Awesome. And how long have you been playing Dynasty for?
Dynasty, me and my brother decided to start up the league three years ago. Finally made the jump from keeper leagues and regular redraft into Dynasty, more of a challenge. So the others got a little stale.
The other question that's not on the sheet that I have to ask is, how many leagues are you in? Is it just that one league, or have you fallen into?
There's a very wide
generate land.
There's a wide variety of answers to this.
All right, I got. So I'm in three Dynasty leagues now. The keeper league, I'm still commish of, and then do between two and four redraft leagues in a given year too.
Okay, so you have a little more self-control than say me.
Okay. Yeah. Yep, got the wife and the kids.
I should be saying that too, but yeah, somehow I get more leagues.
I get that. Before we get into the trades, I'm going to add one kind of ad hoc right now. How'd you find the podcast? You just kind of stumble upon it? Did someone suggest it to you?
Yeah, I just stumbled upon it. With my job in the Parks and Rec department, I have a lot of free time to just listen to pods all day. So once I started playing Dynasty, I just started, you know, I plugged in Dynasty on Spotify or whatever. And
that's literally what I did.
And you know, like just brought up a list and I was like, okay, that one looks good. That thumbnail looks pretty cool. I'll follow that one. You know, if it was somebody I knew and yeah, I just went from there, just started making a playlist basically.
Yeah, exactly. I did the same thing, but on YouTube and stuff like that. And
I did the same. Yeah. Same.
I think I found Russ through something else and then kind of found over here through Spotify. So it's a funny way how people find pots like this.
For sure, for sure.
So what are some of the best trades you've made in your dynasty leagues?
I was thinking about that one when I got the show
sheet. It's always hard to pat yourself on the back. I'll admit that. It took me some time to figure that out.
It's usually easier to come up with the worst trade.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing, too. Like, I hadn't really I've lost a couple, but not – I've actually been on the better end of the trade spectrum. I traded Antonio.
It's easier, Gibson. Too, when you're in fewer leagues.
You can concentrate on it more,
whereas – people like me and Russ are just clicking buttons and accepting trades.
I'm getting close to that.
Yeah, those are my, you know, the leagues are my babies, basically. You know,
right, exactly.
Sit down and fiddle with them on a constant basis. But, yeah, I traded Antonio Gibson for Achan in his rookie year.
Oh, that's nice.
And I actually got a second on top of that as well. So that was one.
Nice.
I traded this one was funny too. This he was a Charger fan. I traded Josh Kelly, if anybody remembers him, mm-hmm. for Mostert when he was actually still pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah, that was another one. I traded Geno for a first and Ferguson, tight end Ferguson. That was a good one. But that one actually ended up costing me the league that year. Geno ended up helping the guy win the league that year.
Oh, so, man.
It was win-win.
But it worked out in the long run.
It did. A couple of the worst ones, though. I traded Ferguson, Atwell, and a first for Pitts. That one seemed good at the time.
Hey,
I feel like everyone has a best.
Like 19, right?
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. Yep.
I feel like everyone has a best trade or a worst trade centered around Pitts, and it depends on which side they were on.
Yeah, I was a Pitts truther, man, and it's hard to quit him still, but I'm getting closer and closer. And then another one was just I traded Kyren in a second for Walker, and he ended up getting the injury bug that year. So that one was kind of, I consider that one a loss, but if those are the worst ones, you know, I'm okay.
Yeah. That second one's not too, I mean, Kyren in the second is definitely the better side, but it's not like, it's not atrocious or anything.
Walker's not dead yet. I might be a Walker truther.
Frank's much more of a Walker truther.
I traded him to my brother. So he has him now. It's his problem.
Yeah. I get that. So do you have a guiding principle in trading? So, you know, kind of an overarching theme or something you always try and do. What's kind of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man. I don't necessarily try to, I guess, win the trade if it's a guy that I'm high on. Achan was a good example of that. Also, you know, if it's a guy, like I said, you're high on, just go get him. Do it. You know, if you feel comfortable giving it up, give it up. Like, if you're that high on the guy, you know. I don't usually value seconds and thirds in deals either. If that's going to be the thing that pushes the deal through, like I can recoup those later, you know, usually and come out at least equal on value and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm with you there. If I know it's a very high second, that's the deal. I've always said, like, after about 17, 18 picks, most of what's left is generally a disaster anyway.
Yep.
You're just hoping for 3 years and then you finally give up on the guys.
Yep.
But this first, like that early second, I feel like you still usually have guys that you feel really good about. And then after that, it just falls off.
For sure. Around 2-5. That's usually where, I start thinking.
You'll occasionally get your like T. Higgins or Michael Pittman's, those guys that go that become something that go in the early second.
Right. Or, you know, that's usually just where they land too. That's, you know, so. But yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, try and help make it a deal to where the other manager is hard on to say no. You know what I mean? Make it one that scratches his back too. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. No, makes sense. I that's all the questions I have on the interview. I think we can get into the news if my internet's not totally crapped out. Sorry to all the podcast listeners. I'm remote in a hotel in New York, so apologies for any freezing I do in advance. But As I told Tony before the show, I am the king of making news out of no news. So we actually have news this week. Kind of the main one this week is that the Rams have given Stafford's agent permission to speak to other teams. The priority is to keep him in LA, but they're using this to kind of understand Stafford's value. And Tony, what do you think on this? Do you think the best move is kind of for him to stay in LA or for him to kind of explore his other options?
I don't know where he'd want to go other than LA. I mean, the Giants are a mess.
Yeah.
That's been floated out there. I've also seen my Raiders, but I don't see them doing that. I think they're more going to go the draft route or a younger free agent, not a 37-year-old vet. And I mean, McVay's still there, and until McVay leaves, that I think the Rams are going to be the Rams. You know what I mean? They're going to have a shot at the division every year. They seem to hit on these picks in the mid rounds with
nothing, basically.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they don't have firsts. They never use the firsts. If they do have them, they end up trading them away. So I if I was him, I'd just stay in LA. That's the best option.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up staying in LA. You put that note there. It's a better way to understand value. I know he wants more money, so I'd be shocked if he ends up leaving. I don't think it makes sense for him or for them to move on from him. I mean, what is Stafford now? Like 35?
He turns 37. Just turned 37.
Yeah. So, I mean, what kind of return are you even going to get if you move on from him? It's sort of like in Dynasty where it's like he's worth more to the Rams than what they would get in return, from what he's going to produce. So, he's going to stay in LA. I think it's better for him to stay in LA. I think it's better for the Rams to stay in LA. It's probably just this whole thing is all just probably about the money.
I don't see anybody paying him $50 million, which is what he wants.
Yeah.
And LA is not even going to do that. You know, it's a year to year basis. They're not going to want to pay that much.
No, I agree with both of you. I think the one place he could fit is the Vikings and bridge to JJ, but he's not going to want to do that for a year. So So we'll see kind of what he does from there.
Yeah, I think he's got the perfect situation right now. He's got a great offensive coach. He's got Puka. I just don't see him moving on. I don't see the point of it. And he gets to live in L.A.
The
players is a real thing.
right. Kyron, they're working to get Kyron extended too, is what I saw.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't have that in the news, but that was on there. They're trying to get him extended. So we'll see what they do with that. This one kind of came out of nowhere today. Khalil Shakir got an extension, 4 years, $60 million, $32 million guaranteed, $18 million in the first year. So it sounds like it's fairly front-loaded, but I felt like he had like two years left on his rookie contract. It felt like a weird timing to kind of extend him. But Tony, what do you think about Shakir and kind of like the whole Bills as a whole? Do you think Shakir is kind of the number one wide receiver there right now? You can include Kincaid in that if for some reason you still believe in him. But, but what do you kind of think of that receiving core in Buffalo right now?
I think it more or less says what they think about Keon Coleman. He didn't do anything to really make a mark there this last year. He was hurt too, but I mean – yeah, I think Khalil Shakir's the number one there, and another at least 2 years, right?
At least now, guaranteed.
Yeah, so. I didn't look at the details of the contract, but you're saying it's front loaded and 32 is guaranteed. That's what it sounds like to me. Is it's probably really a 2-year deal that they can get out of after that if they want to.
Right.
And so I guess I get it because they don't have much else there. And I don't know what their cap space looks like in terms of maybe pulling. Well, there's not
everyone's
much
went up. Everyone's went up a ton. So
well, that's true. But there's not really much in free agency even this year. In terms
the only
of
one's Godwin. Godwin, and because Higgins is now locked up.
Not and I for, think what like Amari Cooper's probably the third best guy at this point.
And
or something.
They just had him. So
yeah. By the way, Shakir is going into year 4. Because you mentioned that at the top.
Wow. Okay.
Drafted in 22,
longer than I thought.
So 23, 24. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. It definitely feels like an overpay. Like I pulled up his stats and like his stats this year looked nice if he was a rookie. He was like 76 for 821 and 4, which, okay, it's fine. But like, it's basically he's the best they have.
Yeah.
And
Matt Collins in the playoffs.
That's true. Catching touchdowns all over the place, but yeah, I can see them not wanting to lose him. And I guess the way the deal was structured, it kind of makes sense. Like they can keep him for 2 more years at a overpaid but still semi reasonable price. You know, if they are able to get out after 2 years and it's like 32 over 2 years, that's not horrible for. I mean, he's basically a number two at best, but in real, like in terms of talent, but if you don't have much else out there to get, I don't know. You don't want to let him. I mean, I guess he wasn't going to be let go, but it locks him in for the next 2 years until they actually can figure out some way to get a real legit number one in there.
Mm-hmm. And I could absolutely see them doing some, you know, veteran thing. You know, I don't know who it would be, but you know, some veteran guy they bring around for a couple million bucks, but
Cooper Kupp, you think Cooper Kupp?
That'd be great.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've said Kupp to the Bills would be great because he's kind of like what Cole Beasley was at the end of.
I don't think it'll be Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. No, I don't think so either. But I think it'll be interesting to see what Shakir does because Shakir does play a lot of the slot, and if it is Kupp, that's probably a problem for Shakir. Yeah. So,
yeah,
we'll have to see. This one was kind of a story, but not a story. Steelers are reportedly going to give a tender offer to Jaylen Warren. It's a lot of jargon in the contract, but basically, he's on the team for 2025. If he's not offered more money, and he's a free agent in 2026. Also, it sounds like Pickens is staying. So, by the way, just we'll get to the rest of this later, but today was like Combine Media Day, so there was a lot of talking. So if I miss something, I'm sorry to the listeners, but this was a lot of stuff being put out there, and a lot of it didn't mean a lot. So,
yeah, like we were talking about before the show, like earlier in the day, like the Gronk is coming back reports.
And then Rappaport punted that to the sun. Yeah. So there was a lot of jargon today, so we're going to get to a lot of that. But basically, the GM said Pickens is staying, and they said they're tendering Warren. And so I think the deal is for about $4 million a year, just for this year. And if they offer him more, if some other team offers him more, he can leave. But if he doesn't, he stays and becomes an unrestricted free agent next year. So, Tony, let's look at it this way. If Warren is the number one running back in Pittsburgh, they can sign someone else or not, however you want to look at it. Where is he for you kind of in the running back spectrum? Is he an RB2? Is he an RB1? Is he?
I'd say low, yeah, RB2, low end RB2. Who's I mean, is Fields going to be the quarterback too? That's going to take away some value.
That's of course that they want him to be, yeah,
right, yeah. I mean, I was never a big Najee Harris guy, so no. I'd you know much rather roll with Warren if that was the case. If I had him,
he's still under contract though, correct?
No, they're both free agents.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Warren was a restricted free agent. So this tender basically is like they can sign, they're signing him back for a year. They have like right of first refusal. I don't know if that means they can match or if they can say no. I don't exactly know all the jargon. This is what I was talking about with the jargon, but like they can basically pay him $4 million and someone can go over that, or they can keep him for like the $4 million and he becomes unrestricted.
Yeah, I think it means they can match. Yeah.
Yes. So yeah. they gave him like $3.5-4 million for this year is how that worked. And Najee's unrestricted.
Yep.
I kind of agree with what Tony said. I mean, at best, I still think he's probably an RB2. And even if Najee's gone, I don't imagine Jalen Warren's carrying the load like in a Saquon Barkley-like manner or something like that. So, I don't even mean talent-wise. I just mean from the amount of carries and touches he'll get.
Look at Roger, the Eagles running back.
I'm just trying to think of somebody who gets all the carries.
We're going to your Eagles in a second.
So I don't think that's ever in the cards for him. So, I mean, Pittsburgh's still not a great offense to be a part of anyway. So even if Pickens stays, I mean, it's Pickens and what? Like Calvin Austin the third or whatever.
Roman's coming back.
Roman, true. But we all have high hopes for Roman. But
yeah.
And they could draft somebody. But my point is, it's not like they're going to be an offensive juggernaut this year anyway, which will help the running back. Right. So he's going to be splitting carries in a mediocre offense. I think Tony nailed it. Just because I do think he's a decently talented guy. Mm-hmm. But I think low end two is probably his ceiling.
Yeah, for sure. He's RB42 right now on.
I'd buy him at that. For sure.
You know,
I would personally.
Yeah, for that price, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
Like I'm trying to think.
I think right he's at least an RB3, and that has him priced as an RB4. So
yeah. Right now, before anyone drafts anyone, would you rather have Warren or Ramondre? Knowing that Warren's on the Steelers for a year.
Warren. I'm out on Ramondre, man. The round mound, I'm out.
Am I not supposed to factor the draft in, or
you? Well, I'm saying like
I think the Patriots might draft somebody.
Me too. I'm not saying you don't have to. I'm not saying you don't factor it in. I'm saying like
then I would want Warren. I think both are getting somebody brought in, but I don't know that the Steelers will make it as much of a priority as
possible. The Patriots are bad, man. Their offensive line is horrible. So
yeah. I keep thinking of Zach Creed saying like all they need is two wide receivers, two running backs, and an offensive line. Yeah, and they'll be great.
They're fine, yeah.
All right, let's get to Rockies Eagles for a second, and we'll keep this one fast. They promoted Kevin Petullo, I think is his name, to OC.
Yeah, Petullo.
Apparently he's just a guy like, you know, like Big Dom, who's worn a lot of different hats in Sirianni's world. So, Rocky, I guess we'll start with you on this one. It seems like it's all Sirianni's system. It's all this guy's just all kind of following what happened last year, right? Is there anything that you would take away from this?
Yeah, not much. And I don't know a ton more about him than you do. He wasn't really even well known in Philly prior to the, you know, the news that Moore was leaving and his name started popping up. Mm-hmm. But he was the passing game coordinator this past year. I'm sure he did other stuff before that, like you said, like quality control.
Yeah, he was a bunch of stuff. Yes, a bunch of those little jobs like that.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, like we said, it's not like he's been some offensive guru that's been talked about in Philadelphia before this. So I think it's just going to be, a lot of the same. I'm sure, you know, he was there last year, though, and then him and Sirianni, I'm sure, will still be incorporating a lot of what Moore did. I could see it getting a little more pass heavy. I wouldn't say pass heavy, but less run heavy, maybe I should say.
Yes. Saquon's not running for 2,200 yards or whatever he finished.
Yeah, and I don't think they can even try and give him the amount of carries he got this year, or he'll just like die or something. So, you know, he is the passing game coordinator, so you would think he maybe leans a little more towards the pass. Yeah. And I think it's kind of, I don't want to say, overrated is not the right word, but a misconception that Jalen Hurts is like they have to run the ball because they have Jalen Hurts as their quarterback. He's been very good when he has to pass the ball. And in fact, I saw a stat, you know, I know this because I'm an Eagles fan recently, that he has the best completion percentage in Super Bowl history, like career, of anyone with 40 pass attempts. So with minimum 40 pass attempts. So it's like 73% in those two Super Bowl games. Mm-hmm. Also had two of his best games in the two championship games that he's been to. So, yeah, I think that it's going to be a little more passing, which is probably good if you're a Hurts manager or an A.J. Brown manager or a Devontae Smith manager.
Yeah.
Smith, and sure. Like I said, I've always thought it has to be anyway because they just they use Saquon so much this year. They can't they just can't do that again next year with the guy who with all that wear and tear this year and his age, all that stuff. So I think that's what you'll see, mostly the same. And I had mentioned before that I would have liked to bring someone outside in. I think that obviously helped this past year, bringing Kellen Moore in. But it's also very hard to do that when you're not looking until the middle of February and a lot of the guys have already been hired.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately we won the Super Bowl. So it makes it a little harder to find an outside offense coordinator anyway, but
yeah,
I mean, I think I don't expect a lot different than this year. Apparently they're trying to ban the tush push too, which I don't think.
I was going to say, do you have any words for Packers fans right now?
Yeah, that's weak, man. Yeah.
That's, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either.
Heard McDermott say something about it today too. He was worried about it.
Be considered illegal is the push part. But if you watch the Eagles run it, the pushing doesn't even push usually that even big of a factor. Like Jalen Hurts is a huge guy that just can push the pile.
They're trying to compare this to the Bush push, where the Bush push was they like an offensive lineman would pick up Reggie Bush and then fall backwards. It's not the same.
No, it's
like,
completely
they kind of, you know, they kind of like, yeah, kind of bump into to Hurts' backside and nudge a little bit, but
no,
he's doing most of that work. And,
it's not the same. It's not the same thing as the Bush push. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's
that
not.
Man squats 600 pounds. It's mostly him. You know what I mean? Do you think the Eagles are going to draft a running back, or do you think they try and bring back Gainwell?
So Shipley's what, a second year now?
Think they're probably going to try and keep Gainwell too. Gainwell has actually been nice for him in the little spurts.
He's Boston Scott 2.0, man.
He kind of is, yeah. I mean, he's not someone they ever want leading the backfield.
But he can get you. He can get you 120-1 in a backup game for sure.
Yes, definitely. So I think they'll try and keep him. I don't see them drafting anyone. Running back wise, I mean, I you know, they just drafted Shipley last year too. If they did, I think
ran down there in the playoffs from behind. You think that?
Hey, but he did run for like 60, 70 yards for the half.
He did. I just remember seeing him looking up at the Jumbotron being like,
that's the other thing too, is it's funny because I mean, it's great that they got Barkley and helped him in the Super Bowl, but
for sure,
with that line, you could probably get away with a lot of different guys at running back and still have decent production.
The only thing arguing against Rocky's argument is there is a running back out of Georgia in this draft. So
now they only draft defensive guys.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. The offensive guys are Alabama.
Jalen. Those who don't know, it's little ETN. Trevor ETN is in the draft, and he was a Georgia guy. So we'll have to see. This is obviously not a fantasy guy, but Zach Martin retired. Very important to the Cowboys offense.
Yeah, that's
a big thing. I just had a fun stat on here. He had the same amount of all pro selections as he had holding penalties, which is kind of insane.
Yeah. So he was a monster. Yeah.
That's going to be a big deal. I wonder.
Wait, Dak says they're close to a title.
Yeah. So. Whatever. I knew Rocky.
He's been that since '95.
Yeah. Right. It's gonna be Genty at 12. It seems like, or you know, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Kuiper put out his whole mock today, and he, you know, I don't want to disparage people in this podcast, but Kuiper's completely washed at this point, and he had Omari and Hampton going 12 to the Cowboys, and just I don't whatever.
Wait, like as the first running back?
No, Genty went 6 to the Raiders. And he had Shador going. It was all wonky.
It was all over the place, man. His out is like, I don't ever do trades in his mocks, he says. And so that's like his one out of getting out of his back.
To say wonky things. He had like the Titans passing on Cam Ward, but the Browns take it was a weird mock. But
I think he had Hunter going to tennis or to Cleveland, or was it who was third?
No, yeah, to New York.
New York.
And they passed on Shador. It was a weird draft. but it seems like it's Jeunty to the Cowboys. It just makes too much sense. But if for some reason Jeunty is gone, I could absolutely see them taking a lineman in this draft now that Martin's gone. This is a very lineman heavy first round. All right, we'll get to the combine chatter. I'll do all of this at once, and then we can kind of touch on it all. This was the big one to me. Falcons GM Terry Fontenot says they are comfortable keeping Cousins as a backup with his cap hit of $28 million, and they trigger a $10 million guarantee for 2026 in March of this year. The Titans GM said they're listening to calls on the number one pick. The Raiders are not ruling out moving up for a QB. So that kind of ties together. And you guys are all saved from a rant for one more year. Travis Kelce is coming back, it sounds like. And he has not said it, but Brett Veach, who is the GM for the Chiefs, basically said he's excited to come back. So it sounds like he's going to swerve us all and retire because that's what Kelce does. Because one guy says one thing and Kelce starts to do it, whatever.
The best thing that could have happened in terms of that for you is what happened in the Super Bowl.
Yes,
it's so hard to retire after that.
I know. You can't get beat like that. I will say the Falcons thing, my takeaway from that is what I've said for the last month. This QB competition's going to suck. Although he said backup, I think. I did not hear the actual clip, but the tweets I read said they're okay keeping him as backup.
Well, so I think Penix, I mean, we probably talked about this before, but I assume they're going to the cap hit's going to be, at least this year, it's going to be the same or worse, whether he's there or not. So why not just keep him as a backup?
Agreed.
Unless he's just going to
unless you can trade him for anything.
Yeah.
I heard him say that he was, Cousins himself said that he was okay being the backup.
Which is so weird.
Yeah. I don't know how you could be.
Because he dropped that bomb. He was hurt, and
yeah,
that was the other news today that I didn't put on here was Raheem Morris and the GM and all those guys said they didn't know he was hurt.
No one knew. Yeah, that's what they said.
How is that possible? So I'm telling you, all this is something happened in Week 16 of last year. Whether he got hurt, whether he didn't, there was something super weird in Atlanta in Week 16.
For sure. There's a disconnect somewhere, whether that's hiding injuries or not wanting to hear about injuries, something, you know, in order to get Penix in there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Raiders and the Titans moves, I think, are just fun draft things to watch. And I know Rocky is king of all this stuff doesn't matter until it actually is. So does anyone move Kelce up their rankings, which, by the way, I should say this, for the first time in TradeX history, a host has made rankings. I have made Superflex rankings to decide trades. I can stop saying tight ends don't matter for no reason. and we'll get to those when we do trades. But does anyone move Kelce up the rankings because of this? Now that I guess inherently he has to go up because he was zero if he was retiring, but.
Well, I was working under the assumption that he wasn't retiring, so it doesn't change anything for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The same thing.
He's where he's at, you know.
Okay. I didn't even treat him like I was worried about it. I was just he's coming back.
Yeah, you
and I just would have really been screwed if he didn't. Although I didn't trade for him like you did in the past month.
What would you trade for him?
I traded 2 seconds for him.
Did you?
Was it a second or two? I don't remember.
I think it was one this year, one next year or something.
That's right.
That's not bad. Like especially if you're going.
I think I would do that on a contender. I think it was exactly. 206-ish.
Yeah, this team I'm doing is more contender. I'm coming for J. Mike. I'm getting that title.
Oh, I just going for J Mike too, and then
I know many have tried and failed. I'm going for that crown. So
who were your other tight ends?
I traded McBride away in a big trade for Amon-Ra and D. So I traded BTJ for Amon-Ra, Metcalf, and this is what happens when you have a trading problem. You forget these things. it was someone else, but it was a trade where I was comfortable getting DK as kind of my
sure. Fit. And Amon-Ra too.
And then I switched into Kelsey on the other trade for 2 seconds. So we'll see.
Good moves. I like them.
Yeah. I'm coming for that title, J Mike. We'll see what happens. But
if I don't, I hope you do. J Mike needs to be stopped.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm not sure what to make of BTJ in Jacksonville with Cohen coming there.
I'm a big fan of the Cohen stuff. I loved his quotes today. I didn't put every single quote from Combine Day on here, but I sent that specifically. Well, not even that. Yeah. I sent this to Russ today, and he was very excited. He said, like, we're building around BTJ.
Saw that. And him and Lawrence. And I was like, yeah, Lawrence just signed 5 years. So,
we'll see. I don't think they're going to draft anyone really important on the offensive side. I think it sounds like they kind of have what they have, but we'll see.
How do you feel about ETN in that offense now?
So I bought ETN for 2 seconds last week, and a 25, I think it was the 206 and a 27 second. And I think Rocky's, I think, a little bit different than me. I think that ETN is at worst a RB2. I think that was a weird year last year. I think he was hurt for most of it. I think all of us forget that he was like RB5 or RB10, like, you know, a few years ago. Like, I think he still got it in him. I think this offense almost has to be better. It's almost physically impossible for it to be worse. And I never believed in Bixby.
No. So
I think ETN's going to be something special again this year. I think trading 2 seconds for him right now is great.
Worth it.
I think the thing you're risking is them drafting someone, and I don't think they are because they have so many other problems. And I think they think they have two good running backs, and they're not going to draft anyone else. And that was John's argument last week, was that they're going to draft someone. They have too many needs. And I wasn't going to go toe to toe with John for 20 minutes on the Jags offense. So
he's RB27 right now.
Yeah, I'd buy him for that. I did, clearly. So
right, yeah. Well, 2 seconds is pretty cheap considering what you would have had to pay last year for.
You'd buy at least a first for him.
Exactly. Probably a third on top of it.
And by the way, my whole, I'm a finance guy, so I use these weird finance words, but my arbitrage in all of this is like, if the Jags get through without drafting anyone, his price inherently goes up already because there's risk baked into that. So you can turn him if you don't want to keep him for next year. So
if they draft his brother,
that would be fun. Let's do that. I have watched a lot of Trevor Etienne. I am a Florida Gator fan for a lot of reasons I'm not going to say on this podcast, but Trevor Etienne always splits time. He was never good enough to carry the backfield on his own. So I'm not worried about Trevor Etienne unless he's on the Eagles. He's going to be great. So, so now we're moving on to the trades. We unfortunately didn't have any listener questions tonight, but we'll get some more next week. So, Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team super flex PPR. Tight end premium of 1.75 per tight end reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1. And we don't have any TA1 trades this week. So we are starting in TA4, where Pat Freiermuth, the 107, the 112, the 207 were traded for Josh Downs, the 104, the 304, and the 309. Holy cow.
Yeah, we have a lot of picks moving around. There's one that's all picks. Yeah.
So Tony, what do you think about this one?
I was looking at this one when you sent it over to me, and I was like, I think
I don't get it either. If it helps you,
I think I just lean the first and Fryer me. Yeah. I'm not a big Josh Down guy either, so I think I go with the Freiermuth side with that one.
I'm with Tony. I like Josh Downs, but I don't like Anthony Richardson. So
exactly,
so that's the problem.
I was going to say Rocky's motto the last two times I've asked about Indianapolis wide receivers is like, who cares?
Yeah, so that's the problem. Yeah, so.
Coming out of Indy too, they were saying they wanted to bring in competition for Richardson. So it's like, who the hell's throwing him the ball?
And I think you had mentioned, Frank, that a tight end's been mocked there. Warren or somebody has been mocked.
Yeah,
there,
Warren has, yep.
Which would also probably be even a bigger problem. So, yeah, and the picks. I mean, the picks are just like 104 to 107 isn't a huge deal to me in this draft.
Yep.
And then you get the another first and a second, and the difference between Freiermuth and Downs is, especially in a 1.75 tight end premium league. I mean, I wouldn't be so shocked if Freiermuth outscored, even though I don't love Pittsburgh's offense, like we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be shocked if he were to outscore Downs in a tight end premium league, and you're getting a much better set of pick, even though I know the highest pick is on the downside. The combo of picks is just much better on the other side.
I think I could pick that 112 maybe even and try and trade that for 2026.
100%.
Yeah.
Or take Tyler Warren.
Yeah.
Although you're
going to be actual pass catcher one.
Yes, correct. Exactly. I think by the time we get to rookie drafts, Warren's going to be closer to that 107 than 112. Personally.
Are you guys worried about Warren being 25?
No.
No?
Not even a little bit. I watched him play seven positions at Penn State playing Big Ten football. That dude's different.
Yeah, for sure.
He played
tight ends last a while anyway. So
yeah.
I'm just kind of worried that
I don't know, the 19-year-old tight end hasn't seemed to work out very much. Maybe we want the older one.
Yeah, exactly.
He develops. He's only, 21, 22. And if that happens to Warren, I'm kind of like worried that he's gonna be 27, 28.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is 5 years of fun, and he's done by the end of his first deal, which could be equally possible.
The bizarre Kyle Pitts, you know what I mean?
Yeah. The
but maybe you also get better production from him as a rookie than a lot of tight ends, which usually don't get great rookie production out of tight ends. So
yeah,
unless it's proper.
This week matters. For one tight end in particular, apparently I didn't put this in the news, obviously, because it's a rookie, but Loveland's like ready to roll. Loveland's going to do all the drills and all that stuff. Yeah, so we could see a lot of him this weekend.
Didn't see much of him at Michigan this year. So
no, because they can't throw the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
They couldn't with JJ McCarthy either. Just FYI.
I'm out on JJ too.
I've never liked JJ, but I know I'm in the minority on that. I would also take the Freiermuth side in this trade, just the extra first. And as we talked about with John, and as I'm sure we're gonna talk about with other rookie guys as we lead up to the draft, the 207 is gonna have some juice on it, like depending on how things fall. Like, there could be a Dylan Sampson, there could be a Devin Neal, there could be some real players who kind of come into this draft that mean something.
It's a deep class, man. Like, sure, it's not very top heavy like it has been in the past, but it's deep, man. The more I look at it, the more I like it.
Yeah. That's the one thing I haven't done in my rankings yet is add rookies, because I'm not a tape grinder like the rest of these guys. I don't know how to stack them against everything else. But I have a real feeling by the time like everyone's drafted, I have a feeling a good chunk of like the top 40 running backs is going to be rookies just because of where everyone falls. So the next trade is...
I just want to preface this one with saying that we a lot of times don't do pick-for-pick trades. Especially before, like a lot of times if we do, it's closer to the draft.
I see why you did it though. Now that I'm staring at
the the reason that's what I wanted to mention. I just wanted to put out there the reason that we did include this one. Usually we don't do it unless we can put names to them. But I just thought it was an interesting. Well, A, we don't have many trades, so that was one reason. Mm-hmm. But B, I figured it was kind of an interesting kind of value check on how you value future picks versus current picks.
Yeah, no, and I'm actually thinking about doing this myself in a couple of leagues. So this will be a good thing to talk about. So the trade is the 208, the 302, and the 402 in this year's draft. For a 26 second, a 26 third, a 26 fourth, and a 27 third. And this is also in TA4. So, Tony, something I've kind of thought about, and I'll throw it to you after this, is like, we know that this draft is deep. We have no idea what future drafts look like.
Right, right.
So as you kind of look at your 26 and 27 picks, let's just say we don't even have to talk about first right now because there's no first in this. Like, are you trading out of your 26 and 27 seconds to get into this draft that you know, right? No one knows anything, but like know in quotations that has players in it and can go the distance kind of front to back has players.
I would, like I said at the beginning too, like how do I phrase this? So like you said, you don't know what the next classes are going to be. Mm-hmm. I can always recoup those later somehow.
Yes.
So I'm not too worried about that. I'd rather be in the present, live in the present draft in the 2025 draft.
Yeah. And like I said, that's why I put this on here. And I agree. I think, like you said, that every smart person that knows draft stuff thinks this is a deep draft. And you're basically just throwing in a third 2 years from now to kind of swap your second, third, and fourth next year into this mm-hmm. draft. And two of those, you know, the later ones are second picks in the round, which, you know, your 26th, third, and fourth that you're sending here may not be. So, I think this is I won't say easy, but I something I would definitely be willing to do. I would like to get more into this draft and take the dart throws this year instead of next year, like you said. And maybe next year will be deep too, but hell if I know that.
Yeah. I think next year is going to be – I watch college football. I don't grind tape or anything like that. But, like, next year's Arch for, you know, unless he completely sucks this year.
Or gets paid.
Next year. Yes. Next year will be Nico, who, if you have not watched Nico Iamaleva, everyone go watch him. He's special.
I love him.
He's got some decision-making issues, but he'll figure that out by the time he gets around. It's going to be more QB heavy. So I think the question I would have to both of you is, would you trade a 26 second to be in the third round of this year? Because time value of money, basically, you know, to go finance terms, right, is saying a second next year is probably worth a third this year. Would you do that switch?
Tony doesn't mind, I'm going to answer first. I don't think I would, just because of what a second means in trades. Like, there's a significant difference to me of adding a second to a trade making a pick in the third, or adding even at the third if it's this year. To me, that's a significant difference to other people in terms of, like, I'll throw a second in, you know, to kind of even out the value. Plus that 26 second, that could be the 201. So you don't know. So that, where
you have to assume your team sucks, right? Or
yeah, whatever. So the third, you know where it is, and the second could be in your mind, can be a high second. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not saying for myself. I'm saying when you're trying to use it as a bargaining chip. So that's the main reason for me. I would not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure.
What if it's a 27 second for this year's third?
I still don't like doing it for the same reason. Even though it's 2 years out, I just, the difference between second and third is like miles different than third and fourth to me.
Yeah, I still think that's hard.
The last trade that we have tonight is TJ Hockenson and T Higgins for CJ Stroud, the 111 and a 27 third. Tony, what do you think of this?
This was Russ, by the way.
No shit. He probably traded for Higgins.
I've been trading Higgins in a couple of my leagues.
Yeah.
Haven't been able to do it. Who's the offensive coordinator in Houston now?
Nick Cayley. He was the tight ends coach for McVay. He's one of the McVay apostles. So, you know, we'll see.
Oh, man. I like Hawk, too, this year. And is this under the assumption I'm like T. Higgins is staying in Cincy with the franchise tag? I assume
we don't do context on this podcast. It was the actual I was taught.
Man, that's tough.
It's under the assumption of whatever you believe will happen.
Yeah, right.
He didn't know when he made this trade what's going to happen.
Yeah, right. He just wants T. Higgins. I know Russ bought T. Higgins. Let's just get that out of the way.
It is. He got Higgins and Hawk.
Yeah.
I think I lean. I think I'd go the Stroud side, unfortunately. I'm not a big believer in Stroud as much as I was last year, but I see that 111, and I think, you know, what's the kid from Ole Miss?
Jackson Dart?
No, the receiver.
Trey Harris?
Trey Harris. I think I can get Trey Harris with the 111 to kind of fill in with the T Higgins comp there. I think I just take the Stroud and then try and get another receiver. T Higgins scares me too with his injuries. I'm not sure how healthy he'll continue to be. How many games did he miss last year anyway?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. What the top. I don't think it was a ton, but it was maybe.
I don't think it was as many as normal, but.
It's like three?
I was going to say three if you made me guess, but I can look in the meantime. But, Rocky, what do you think in the meantime?
I actually take the, strangely enough, the quarterback side here, too. I would take the Stroud side. This just feels like Russ overpaying for two guys he likes a lot, and T and Hawk to me. So, five games. Okay, so yeah, and you get that 111 pick in there that you can either use or do something with. You could probably get a decent ish receiver, even a vet receiver for a 111. Or even a decent younger ish receiver for the 111. Frank's guy, Jameson Williams, you could probably get for the 111. So, I've liked Stroud since college, you know, well, since I looked at him coming into the league because I didn't watch him in college. But, I think the truth is probably somewhere between last year and year one. I don't think he's going to be as bad as he was last. Not that he was awful, but certainly a step down from the year before. And I just feel like you should get a little more for a guy that everyone was talking about as like a top four dynasty quarterback. And I know that we're not talking about him that way now. But I still think that potential's there. I still think he can be a QB1, at least a low end QB1. And I just feel like getting, a good wide receiver. I know Russell pointed out T was number one in points per game this past year, but I don't expect that.
Yeah, because of like one freaking game, by the way. No one's ever going to say
and
that.
Missing a bunch of games.
Yeah.
which helps his points per game. So, I just think you need a little more if you're trading a young quarterback and the 111. And Hawk, I love Hawk. I still think he's going to be good, but there's definitely question marks there too. If we're talking about a potential JJ McCarthy offense with two other mouths to feed. So I just feel like the value is not high enough. You need to get a little more. I'd be fine like coming off Stroud, but especially if you're not getting a quarterback, I think you need a little more than this.
Yeah. I've been teasing Taraki. I've been tweaking my tight ends don't matter opinion. And I think my new version of that is positional scarcity is not a thing. It's not like they score the same amount. And so I'm not trading value to get a tight end that could be the same as like TJ Hockenson and David Njoku could be the same thing. And we're trading more for TJ Hockenson for some reason.
Shut your mouth, Frank.
It's true. And it's one of those things where I think let me just start with, I would take the Stroud side because I was just staring at the rankings I was creating. So Stroud is my QB7 and T Higgins is my wide receiver 13. And those are the two best assets in this trade. And the pick is on the wrong side for me, honestly. And I'd rather
I'd rather have the pick
to go with it. And you could take Loveland at 111, and they're probably going to be the same. Like, it's just what it is. I'm sorry. Like, the tight end position, like, short of Travis Kelce for 2 years, Gronk for three. I don't know how long Gronk was, like, the king of the world, but, like, three maybe. Like, these tight ends, and I know Rocky's like, I'll take three people over Brock Bowers, but – it's like the Hockenson's not in that category. He's not. And to me, give me the chance that Stroud is worth anything that he was pre this year. And I'll flip him for that. Even if I don't believe that, I'll flip him for more than that. So
you could flip him right after this, you know,
literally. Yes.
So like Jared Goff and probably get.
Yes.
Something else on top, obviously, you know, obviously something, maybe a one. But yes. At first, the two.
Yes. And I know.
And potentially a tight end who will score as much as TJ Hockenson.
Correct. If you told me I could turn CJ Stroud, I'm going to go to the rankings right now. If you told me I could turn CJ Stroud into Baker Mayfield and Njoku, sure. Sign me up. And I have the same production as Hockenson. I understand Cleveland's quarterback is a little wonky, but you have like Njoku's clearly getting the targets. So I think this is my new opinion of tight end. Like they're all kind of the same.
Except
Brock Bowers. I will give you that. Brock Bowers is number I will say Brock Bowers is number 12 in Superflex for me. So I am not as dogged on him as I was before.
An absolute monster.
He is. So I will take the Stroud side. Sorry, Russ, but you're not on the pod anymore, so we don't have to like his stuff anymore.
And he's not going to hear this anyway. So
probably not. On that note, I think, that is the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Tony, thank you so much for joining us. I know you're kind of joining us from the chat, but why don't you tell us kind of where people can find your socials or throw your handles out there, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. I'm just on Blue Sky, Tony Perez 34 at Blue Sky. You can find me there. I'm not on anything else, but yeah, it was fun. I love listening to you guys and hearing what you guys have to say. So this was great.
Yeah, this was some good combo tonight. Like we said at the top, Tony's just a guy who knows his dynasty, and he definitely knew his dynasty. It was a fun conversation tonight. I know I'm glad you do all the other stuff, Frank, but we are going to mention that Frank promises he's going to find a way to still work it in, but you may not be hearing our familiar DAP network, you know, and we will, whole thing. We are the DAP Network will be no more. You may have noticed, actually, I didn't even post the pod on the DAP Network last week because there is no more DAP Network. A lot of the pods that we were putting all the stuff out have kind of either gone on hiatus or are ending or whatever. So Russ and I talked about it. We just made the decision that you're just going to have to listen to Trade Addicts and get it through Trade Addicts. So if you were only signed to the DAP Network feed, you should hopefully are still somehow hearing this.
I was going to say, I should probably throw it on the DAP Network feed one more time.
Yeah, I guess I will. I'll throw it. I did not actually do it last week because I knew this was happening, but I'll do it this time. And so if you are listening to this in just the DAP Network feed, you should switch over to the Trade Addicts feed because they're, that is only where this will be coming out now. The DAP Network is no more. But hopefully Frank will find a way that we can work DAPs into the beginning of every
show. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to spend a week probably not sleeping, sitting here thinking about how to work DAPs. the rest of our stuff, patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can watch us while we record, see our beautiful faces, see my magnificent hotel room in New York City. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Always fun. I was throwing probably way too much news in there today because it was chatter talk, and I'm the only one who falls for that stuff anymore. And
before you finish up, I was just thinking. You see, I take out the FF and I change my name to Dynasty Addict Petrella.
DAP, yes,
I'm and then we can work DAP into the
there. We go. Let's make sure you don't have to blow up all your social handles. I can get a little more creative before we try that. That'll be our break glass in case of emergency.
Sorry to interrupt you, but
no, it's okay. Of course, the last stuff is Fantasy Cares. Not a ton going on right now. The main schedule, Joey Wright does trivia on Mondays. They did Oscars this week, which was fun, but I knew none of the answers because I'm not an Oscars guy. Zach and J Mike do Dynasty Hootenanny on Tuesdays, and then they have the Wednesday hangout with a variety of people on Wednesdays. Everyone go check that out. Outside of this podcast, it's one of my favorite events of the week, and you can still see Russ if you still want to see Russ. But outside of that, good morning, good afternoon, and good night, everybody.
Good night, Frank.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addicts. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast. Poopy fan. Daddy's the best. See ya.